Father, we want to thank you for giving us the word again. Holy Spirit, we trust in you for revelation, for change of direction, for change in our lives, that we may take hold of your vision in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably we will do a series of talks in this one. The title is No Vision, No Destiny. If there is no vision, there will be no destiny. That means we are not reaching anywhere. Now, learning from the life of Joseph, Joseph was a dreamer. He was a dreamer. He was not a daydreamer. He was a visionary. He had a vision. One who had the purposes, the revelation of God. God's revelation. One who was captivated by this, by a sense of destiny and purpose. He was not just living for himself. His life was not an accident like every one of us. You are planned, determined, brought into this time for a purpose or a plan. You must be excited about it. We need more dreamers like Joseph today. Somebody said, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty hidden places of their mind, awake only to find that it was vanity, that their dream was a stupid one. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men and women. They may act upon their dreams with open eyes to make it possible. Did you get that? There is a great need for individual and corporate bodies that are possessed by a sense of vision. The last days, these are the days, are marked by such people. You know, if you receive prayerfully the revelation of God as you listen to this message, you will be changed. At the end of this message, and we go leave this room. Yeah. Joel 2:28. Speaks about the last days. How God is going to deal according to his agenda. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. This is very clearly stated. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Not many things happen without a dream. For great things to happen, there must be great dreams. Much more than a dreamer is required to bring it to reality, but the dream must be there first. Otherwise, how can you bring it to reality? Now, let's go on to understanding of the vision and how it affects our life. Vision, as I said before, it is not 3D pictures. The meaning of the word vision in the Hebrew is that of a mental illumination an enlightenment in our mind to perceive translated a burden. Another translation says a clear mental concept. Now we go to Proverbs 29:18, that famous scripture. Proverbs 29:18. Taken it. Where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. So many translation say in different ways, people run wild without vision. People go on restraint. Go off restraint. That means without a control, without government. They are dragged into to dumb things, to do dumb things. Why? There is no vision. And most of the time they don't know. They are like a car which had just lost its brakes, and the driver is unable to control the car. Here it says, without vision, people perish. I think King James says that. That perish, word perish means it is not just you go on destruction. I mean, you just lose your salvation. No. You don't. So the word perish in the Hebrew is para. P-A-R-A, which means cast off restraint, become disorderly. Their life is not in order. Ungovernable. They cannot be controlled. They cannot be governed. They will not submit to God's authority. Run wild or break loose. Dwell carelessly. That means they live careless lives. So, remembering these words, people without a vision, without a goal, without a purpose, they have no destination, they have nothing in life, they are like the clouds which are tossed to and fro because of winds. They have no control. They are at the mercy of the wind. So, people without a dream, goal or God's purpose or destiny or God's call, not only they run wild, they are uncontrollable, ungovernable. I can say some of the things, little bit of it, for those, I'm talking of God's children. We're not talking about the world. I mean, they live according to their soul, right? According to what they think, according to what they feel, according to their will. Now, among God's people, have no vision. They are in the prison of their soul. Two, they attack, envy, be jealous, and discourage those who have a vision. What about Cain? He had no purpose when he went near God. He just did his own thing, even though he knew he had to take blood with him. What about Esau? Nothing in the future. He was just living for his flesh, food, enjoyment. He lost his birthright and attacked Jacob. What about Saul? Live for dignity, the praise of people. Started attacking David, for he lost his vision. David had the new mandate and the vision of God. So you find these people in the church today, full of people, church full of people without vision. So don't take that word perish means that they will go to hell. No. They are ungovernable. They live carelessly. They have no direction. They have no destiny. There is no sense in their life. There is no meaning. What about Korah? Even though he was with Moses, he had no vision, so he started attacking Moses. And 250 people joined with him. They had no vision. People without vision, they envy, they're jealous, they attack. They see the flaws of people who hold the vision. People without vision, they are a hindrance to those who are going towards their vision. The majority of God's people, Israelites, they just murmured and then made the time factor long. Instead, they could have gone there within, I think, 11 days or so. But they took 40 years. In fact, they died, every one of them who came out from there, from Egypt. They hindered even those who were who had made in their heart decision to go towards God's vision for the fulfillment. But because of them, rebellious people who had no vision, the time was increased. People without vision, you know what they do in the church? They use God. They want Him to heal them, to bless them, to prosper them, to lead them, to guide them, to protect them in all their ways. But never they surrender so that His power may flow through them for the extension of His kingdom. Always remember, God has a purpose and a plan, a vision for everyone. And He wants to accomplish that according to the call, according to the anointing that He had already given them. So Pharaoh said, Moses, yeah, everything is wrong, but can you pray for me? Twice he asked. What about Jacob in Genesis 28, 20 and 21? I would like to read that for you. You know, he had a covenant. He was trying to make a covenant with God, but look at him, what he says. 28:20, Genesis. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and keep me in this way, that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. I mean, if you do this, you are going to be my God. And look at that. As if God needed anything. See, people without vision always try to use God. They just want all His blessings, that's all. But God in His mercy, He understands. Even then He opens His hands to bless them. See, the idea is actually, the perish means people without vision perish. The idea is throwing off divine control, divine restraints, His government, and doing something dumb, worthless, wasting the gifts, wasting the talents, wasting the money, wasting the time, wasting everything. He who does not gather with me scatters. That means you waste everything, waste your own life. Now it may seem for them that they are living for God. They're going to church or reading the Bible, whatever, giving some money to the Lord. But then they have no vision. You ask them, where are you going? They say, where? What do you mean? I'm a child of God. They have no conception. They have no goal. They have no destiny. Illustration. Exodus 32:1. We see Moses was talking with God, and then he got delayed to come. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Now, listen. People without a vision, they always looked to a human being. They look to a man. Their dependence is on man and not on God. Those who are with vision, they focus on God. And they join with such people who have a vision. Always remember this. When is the last time you talked about your vision, your preparation, where you are going? Do you have a vision? How many years now you are in the kingdom of God? Have you asked yourself where you are going? Moses knew where he was going. Moses knew why the Lord sent him to Pharaoh. He knew that. He had a sense of destiny. He knew his calling and God's purpose. Do you know? But the people who were with Moses, who were led by Moses, did not share his vision. They were with him, but they did not catch his vision. Today, many people are in churches all over the world. They have nothing to do with the pastor and his vision. They have nothing. They do not even know where their church is going. Sometimes in some churches, they will put it on the notice board outside, say, our vision. And then they will say, our mission, whatever. The last time I went to the hospital, North York Hospital over here, and I showed Charmaine over there, a big, and they had everywhere that big poster framed, our vision. And then our mission. Take the secular world, the companies, they all have a vision. And they have a mission. They work systematically. They work towards that. How we can enlarge. How we can make better products. How we can have more customers buying it. What can we do? How we can be so good. I mean, the employees can be so good to them so that they will come back. They have a training. Some of you know. How to talk to them. Why? They are working towards a vision. Why is it most of the time God's children have no vision? And is it an accident the Holy Spirit wrote as a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 what happened to the Israelites, even though God told them where he was taking them? They just ignored it. It never dawned in them, in their hearts. All what they wanted was deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh. Are you there with me? It's one thing for a leader to have a vision, but it's quite another thing to get ownership of that vision among the people he leads. Not everyone will catch the vision. Not everyone is interested in the vision. But those who are taught of the Lord, those who have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, they humble themselves and then they get near the leader to talk and to find out, please help me. I am troubled. Tell me, Pastor, where are we going? Do you see anything? Is there any warning for me? Please let me know. What is God speaking to you? They're concerned. Why? The Holy Spirit is stirring inside. Yeah. That's why they just ask those questions. Exodus 32:25. Can you take 32:25? Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, can you see that word? Para. Unrestrained. What do you mean by that? They were naked. To their shame among their enemies, they were without protection. Naked means, in other words, they have lost the glory of God. You remember? Adam and Eve, they lost the glory and then they saw themselves naked, which means they are not under the government of God. They are not under His protection. If you do not have a vision, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. You have no protection. You are at the mercy of circumstances. I'm just speaking words, I don't know. But when you have a vision, the supernatural protection of God comes because you say, Lord, I'm living for you. I am prepared to do what you ask me to do. But I don't know everything, Lord. Please help me. They have surrendered everything. And they say, Lord, here I am. I'm stupid. I'm foolish sometimes. But help me, Lord, to understand. You sang that song. Help me understand. Here when the people started to make idols for them, the protection was removed. They were naked. They were unrestrained. That same word is there. Proverbs 29:18. Do you have a vision? Where are you going? In your spiritual life. Where the Holy Spirit is taking you. The Holy Spirit is our leader, right? Those who are led by the Spirit of the Lord are sons of God. We need to be in the right place in the right time with the right people. That can be achieved only by one way, being led by the Lord Holy Spirit. He knows the right place. He knows the right time. He knows with the right people. Any other person cannot be a counselor for you. You should know by the inner guidance of the Holy Spirit, what others say, it has to be a confirmation. Now, the Israelites, they have passed through, they have gone through the Passover. They crossed the Red Sea through the cloud. They got delivered from Pharaoh, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. But guess what? They had no vision. They saw the power of God. Today, many people seated in churches, in conferences, they see the power of God. Healing meetings, yeah, they say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They have no vision. Most of them, they come off and they get back to work, but no vision. Just go to church and go to work and mind their lives. Think about it. No vision. Where were you 5 years back in your spiritual life? So now, what has happened to you? Oh, nothing. I go to work and I come back. And I go to church and I return home and I go to work. Solomon said, you will perish. You will be ungovernable. You will have no protection. And the Holy Spirit is not leading you. And you are naked. That's unprotected. There's no protection. No understanding of what God is after. No knowledge of where God is taking them. Nothing. Israelites knew nothing. They only knew that they got delivered from slavery. God brought them out to take them through to get them inside Canaan. Brought them out. He was taking them through to get them into Canaan. But they died in the through process. Today, not only many God's children finish up their end of their lives in the wilderness, the through process, many servants of God die before even the first phase of their ministry. When I read this, I really got a shock and I just analyzed and see, yeah. It was Brother Kenneth Hagin who said that. Many servants of God, evangelists and pastors, they finish up their lives. They leave this earth just after probably completing their first phase in their ministry, what God had given them. See, the Israelites in their thinking, they knew they had come out. That was all they knew. But they perished through the through process. They spent 40 years going nowhere. They were in motion, but they were getting nowhere. Motion is not progress. It's just a motion. Just because we go to church, don't think that you are getting spiritual every Sunday. You are getting near heaven, no. And God is not hungry to get people to heaven when he's going to empty heaven and come down. Thank you. So don't wait until your death comes and then you know, you just slip out of the body while I go to heaven, be with Jesus and sing the hallelujah. Wonder how many people will sing over there because they can't even sing down here. Isn't it true? So the people of Israel, they had no vision, no purpose, no destiny. Acts 2:40. The Holy Spirit says here, we are living in a crooked, among a crooked generation. Crooked means it's not straight. How many of you know that there is no straight snake? The snake is always crooked. Isn't it right? See how God writes those words. Do you find a straight snake anywhere? No. My God, you want to coil all the time. Did you get 240? Thank you. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse, crooked generation. Be delivered from this crooked generation. How many of you? Oh, Pastor, we have some posh, nice people. When we go in the buses and the subways, oh, they have clothing and their perfumes. Oh. But God says, you see it outside, but they're crooked. You are living among a crooked generation. See? So be delivered from them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Here, we see the condition of this crooked generation. Ephesians 4, 17. Are you all following? This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. The Gentiles, what is their condition? Earlier we read, crooked. Now let's see, it's going deep now, the condition of their crookedness. 18 verse, having their understanding, that means in their mind, darkened. This darkness has come into their mind. I heard one lady crying and weeping and they said, oh, they're selfish, they're selfish. These murderers, they're selfish, they're selfish. Not knowing the Holy Spirit said in the last time people will be so selfish. If the church people are going to be selfish, what about the world? Oh, my Lord, my God, have mercy upon us. Mea culpa, mea culpa. Mea maxima culpa. Lord, have mercy. Selfish, utterly selfish, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their soul. The heart is so. Can you see? Their condition is the vanity in their minds, vanity, stupidity, foolishness, aimlessness, purposelessness, without destiny, without nothing. That is vanity. Vanity in Greek, the Greek word is, actually, the meaning is emptiness, aimlessness, no goal, no purpose. Are you one of them? That's why I told you, rewind your tape and see what was your purpose in spending these years. What happened? Where have you gone in your spiritual life? What are the anointing, the gifting that is operating? Where is your destination? Your goal, you have one? That means without it, you will perish. You will not be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You will not be governed by God. You are uncontrollable. You will never submit to anybody. See, the total lack of purpose in life affects these areas. We will see these words. Verse 18, the intellectual realm, understanding is darkened. Again, being alienated from the life of God, spiritual realm, the life of God, the flow of life into their spirit is cut off. This happens for believers, whereas the Gentile, they have no life of God in their spirit. You remember Jesus said, if anyone does not bear fruit, they are cut off. He takes it away. The life of the sap stops to flow inside. Very dangerous, eh? These are very true. And the third one, in the moral realm, verse 19, who believing in past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They have given themselves over to impurity, lust. Can you see that? See, if there is one vivid mark, a character that can be noted among the Gentiles and majority of the church, shall I tell you what it is? The society lacks purposelessness. No goal, no destiny, but that sickness has crept into the church. Most of the believers, you ask them, what is your call? What my call? I'm an usher. They say, put you as an usher, showing people to where to sit. Oh, I take the offering. They don't know their call. Can you see this? So the mark of this society is a purposeless life. I asked the other day, I was taking one lady in the car, and before I dropped her, I said, why are you going here to work? She looked at me. I said, you have no answer. Why do you want money? What are you going to do with it? Why are you struggling? And you could answer. That's a good question. Yeah. You may be guessing it, who is this? But have you ever asked yourself, where am I going? Why I am struggling? Life is so precious. Don't kill yourself and work for something that you have never been called. What would have happened if Matthew continued as a tax collector? Huh? You won't get that book there. Are you there? Getting very silent. Now, there is an old Chinese proverb. I hope you will take this up. If we do not change our direction, we are liable to end up where we are headed. I'll repeat it again. If we do not change our direction, we are liable to end up where we are headed, in the direction where we are going. When are we going to change direction? Genesis chapter 37, verse 2 to 11. Here comes the mighty man, Joseph. Wonderful, beautiful story ever written, I would believe. So written by the hand of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth many deep truths and the operation of God the Holy Spirit. Much to learn. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the land was with sons of Bilhar, and the sons of Zilpah, and the father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic or a robe of many colors. Verse 3. Now Israel, verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and then also stood upright. And indeed your sheaf stood all round and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us or rule over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and this 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him. Earlier we see they hated him. Watch it. Now they envied him. But his father kept the matter. What matter? The vision, the dream in his heart, in his mind. Now, the robe that was given to Joseph was given by his father, Jacob. It's telling him that he's an heir of his father, the privileged son, one destined to rule. It is no accident that the brothers of Joseph hated his robe. The enemy hates anything that reminds you and me of our rulership. When you study about the authority of Jesus, when you study about casting out spirits, demons from people, when you study about breaking the curses from people's lives, when you come to know who you are in Jesus Christ, your privileges, your inheritance, your authority, everything, the devil hates it. And he hates the servants of God who teaches those things. The robe of Joseph reminded him about that he is destined to rule. And the devil hated him. The enemy will hate anything that reminds of our rulership, our authority. Moses was called to rulership. His own people hated him. Who made you the ruler for us? Jesus was hated by his own. And Psalmist wrote a long time before, they hated me without a cause. Joseph was called to rulership. A dream or vision that God has spoken into your life will center on this area of rulership. Always it will center in the area of rulership. You are called to rule. You are destined to rule. Yeah. Never forget that. Not ruling over people. Ruling over everything that God has entrusted into our hands. You got to be excited about this. God has high destiny for our lives. Genesis 1:26 is very clear the reason for creation. You see, do you know many churches and God's children, they do not know the purpose of creation? And God said, let us make man in our own image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Not God. Let them have dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule, have dominion. Can you see those words again? You are created to rule. You are a king. You are destined to rule. You are not created a beggar. Oh, please, Lord. Help. That's what we do. Let them be beggars. Did he say that? Let them rule. But the church, you know why we sometimes change these words and say, that's what we are. We just beg like these beggars on the streets. Look at people's faces on on Sundays. Oh, when it comes to a time of prayer. Oh, Lord. You see, no matter what dimension of ministry you are called to fulfill, listen, you are called to rule, to subdue, to dominate and rule that area of ministry. Oh, can I have a good amen for that? You are, oh, Pastor, I'm called for children's ministry. You are called to rule every forces, every hindrances that will come against those children. God has given you authority to rule. They are under your custody. Do you get that, Nadine? See that? If it is healing, you are called to rule over sickness. If it is deliverance, you are called to rule over what? Demons. Hallelujah. If it is intercession, then it's giving administration and giving hospitality to those who have been entrusted into that ministry with you. It is a matter of learning to rule over ourselves and then over any outside forces that will seek to block and hinder the kingdom life expression. Anything that is going to block us, anything that's going to hinder us that we cannot go forward, God says, rule over it. Come on, take the authority. Some of us now, we're finding this new way of praying. Okay, we found. So God says, come on, attack now. Let those words come out of your mouth. I called you to rule. But the enemy blinds us to say the same words and even in a begging manner. Oh Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. What is the time? 10, 20 years, Lord. We thank you for this evening. What is so special about that evening? See, there is no violent prayer. We are called to subdue and to rule. Jesus has given us all authority. What for? To keep it? Frame it? Joseph shared his dream. Those who heard hated him. When you share your dream, most of the time you will be hated. You say, you go open your mouth and say, I want to go as a missionary. You just playing into somebody's hands. They would say, what? And many questions will be hurled on you. And most of the time, the attack will come from those who are close to you, those who are around you. There wasn't a stranger who came and attacked, peeped over the fence, Jacob's fence, and shouted at Joseph, Joseph, we heard that you had a dream. Good luck to you. No. We know it won't come to pass. Probably who had eaten, I think, more pizza. You had a dream. No, that was given by God. All right. The attack will come, certainly. Discouragements will come from those who have no goal, no destiny, no purpose. Did the brothers of Joseph have any vision? No. All through the Bible you will see people have no vision. They are unprotected. So the demons can use their soul as a medium and attack and attack and attack. Bring confusion, discouragement to the others. Well, big, you're going to be, oh what? You can't even pray well. You're thinking of going overseas. Why don't you go over Canada? What is that lake called? Yeah. Ontario Lake. You're going overseas. Discouragements are sure to come. See? As you share your dream, watch to whom you are talking to. Do not throw your pearls in front of pigs, Jesus said. The soulish will never catch your dream. Your vision, your household are the ones most of the time who will ridicule you, mock you. Your dream, your vision will be challenged, mocked, and rejected. They will fool you. Joseph's dream exposed the condition of the hearts of the brothers. Their self-life, their life without a purpose, without a vision, their jealousy. So don't talk about your dream and about your vision, what God is putting you within your heart. You are stirred up with somebody who has no direction. Keep your mouth closed. But you can talk about your vision or dream with those who are visionaries, with those who are going forward in the call of God, in the purpose of God. Hey, then you can pray together. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Are you getting these things into your heart? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Do we do that? Let us esteem others better than ourselves. But for us, our self is the best. Other self is we have to attack, crucify. Let each of you look out only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. God says, okay, you have an interest, whatever, okay, you achieve that. But see that you look after the interest of others also. Are you all praying for those people who got caught today in this disaster and those families, for the Lord to send some servants of God and comfort them, pray with them? Maybe even in the hospital. Be concerned. Pray for them. Mary and Elizabeth both became pregnant with miracle children. Remember those two ladies? Both had a dream, a vision, a destiny, a mandate from God. One was going to bring forth the Savior of the world. The other one was going to bring forth a mighty prophet who preached repentance, even at the risk of his life. Both received unkind words and mockery from others because of their pregnancy. Are you following me? Watch this. Each of them was to deliver the seed of God and his purpose. Both had their dreams fulfilled. It came to pass, isn't it? No? Each one of us are called to be a Mary. You are called to be a Mary. But each one should seek to be an Elizabeth to others, for they encouraged each other in bringing to pass the vision of God. Wonderfully, they were not jealous at each other. Mary did not consider, well, mine is a Savior. What is yours? And Elizabeth said, oh, well, mine is just a prophet running before you. No. And she said, wow, I'm so blessed to have my Lord's mother to come to me. Right? Hallelujah. The initiative of the dream, the origin of the dream, the dreams were given by God to Joseph. Most of the time, you will not understand your dream immediately. But it unfolds gradually, the direction and the purpose of God. For example, now we take the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. Right? Take that prophecy. Genesis 3:15, it was written, it says, the seed of the woman, right? Genesis 4:15, it says, he will come in the line of Seth. Genesis 49:15, it was prophesied that he will come in the line of the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall come. Micah 5:2, it says, he shall be born in Bethlehem. Can you see, little by little by little, the vision is unfolded. The light is given more and more. Genesis never said he will be born in Bethlehem. Genesis chapter 3. No. The seed of the woman shall trample your head. In the same way, the Lord will take us gradually as we obey and go with him. He unfolds our call and our purpose and our plan. Please be at it. Get intimate. We need to get near God and the Word of God so that when our life is over, we can say, Father, I have finished my race. I've done everything that you have asked me to do. You know, I have spoken this before. Derek Prince, in his the last minute of his before his departure, he called the one who was next to his bed. He knew that he was going to pass away. He said, with tears, is there anything that I have left undone for the kingdom? People who run with God towards their destination, they will have a satisfied life and they will live with satisfaction. Don't be satisfied with going to church and coming and then putting some money and then getting back to work. You want to go for another 10 years? Please go do like that. Yeah. So the prophecy, the unfolding of the vision of Messiah became, was gradual, and the light became brighter and brighter. And finally, Isaiah said, he shall be born through a virgin. See, most of the time God's children become agitated, impatient, because their vision is not clear. What? I just forgot about it. Don't. Ecclesiastes 9:10. What it says. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. It's talking about the cemetery. There is no wisdom, there is no knowledge, there is nothing in the cemetery when you die, when you get into your coffin, if Jesus tarries, and I don't think he will tarry. And I believe that he's coming during this generation, in this time. Amen. So do whatever your hand finds to do with all your might whenever something is given to you. Whatever that you are doing, when your leader tells you something or asks you something, are you diligent to do that? God is watching so that he can unfold your vision, your plan, your purpose for life. For if there is no vision for you, you will perish. Psalm 37:4, known to everyone. What is it? Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. He shall give you the vision. He shall give you the goal. He shall give you your purpose. When? Delight yourself in the Lord. We cannot delight ourselves in the Lord unless we delight ourselves in the Word. You can't. You cannot separate the Word of God from God. You don't see God, but he has given us his word. God is in his word. Are we delighting in the word? Then he will unfold his plan, his purpose. He will give you the desire that we need. Not our desire. Some people said, oh, I have a desire like this. God will fulfill so that I will take this promise. No, no. He shall give his desire for us. And it'll be good. When we delight in the Lord, delight in his word, he shall give you the desire. See? The dream, the vision, the purpose, the mandate, the area of your calling, he will give you that desire. Judges 13:25 says, Spirit of the Lord moved, stirred up Samson in that place when he went there. This Holy Spirit moved in his heart, took him to the right place. If the Old Testament saints can be led like that, what about the New Testament saints? My goodness, it has to be more, right? It has to be more. Praise the name of Jesus. I think we will continue from there, right? Okay.